crying around about most anything is just a waste of tears.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Life doesn't put anything in front of us that we can't handle. It's all in the handling. Coherent or incoherent. Clarity or chaos. Another thing. Everything that ever happens is there to make us stronger. And when we understand, our strength gets stronger. And when we don't understand, our weaknesses get stronger. It's an inevitability.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And when falling down, falls down, how down and falling down.
Falling down, falls down. How down can falling down fall.
And when getting back up gets back up, how up can getting back up get back up? In the reality of being, reality waits for human recognition, to recognize the power of intelligence clearly used is a way of seeing, curing, healing, spirit. It's not about whether we can or can't. It's about whether we will or we won't.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. The blamers and the blamed.
The blamers and the blamed.
Play a dangerous game.
Play a dangerous game.
Turning responsibility into another one of their casualties. Inside of ourselves and amongst ourselves. Desperating while hidden behind the light cast by our shadows. Life holds its breath, and alive wants us to live the gift we were given. It's a decision we make.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So no use in wishing, hoping, and wanting. And those if only, and those coulda, shoulda, and wouldas are just troubles for the head. And crying around about most anything is just a waste of tears.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
The power within myself rather than giving it over to somebody else and trusting them with my life. 35 years of doing that, well, did not work.
So it's, and here I am. So I'm, you know, I had my journey and we, here we are, and our journeys meet.
Yay!
Soul journey and journeys with
We're
JP.
We're all on a journey, right?
Of course.
That's one. It's like all roads lead to Rome, they say. I think all roads lead to God. All roads lead to self-realization. So my road, my path, my journey isn't any better that, or more right than anyone else. It just is. And I'm enjoying sharing that along the way. And my listeners have seen me grow from day one to, you know, here we are 7 years later. And it's just been instrumental. I mean, just like the most tremendously amazing growth spurt of my life.
Well, you know, it's one of the amazing things. Well, I think that to be on this side of the microphone, to be the one who talks to lots of people, you get a picture that is quite, I mean, I suppose we also share that with our audience, but, you know, no one person can listen to every single show that we do. So a lot of the journey kind of comes along on our own. However, you know, there are people who, they do a marathon, you know, they download the whole archive, you know, they get the archives for a month, download the whole damn lot, and it's like watching a whole series of Fringe, you know, it's like, getting the whole series. And I suppose that would give you a completely different perspective, because, you'd be kind of speeding time up by listening to all these shows. But, you know, we just, you know, we didn't start out as professional broadcasters, but we had the journey and realized that the journey is the important thing and not necessarily the results. However, 7 years on, 3 years on, we've got 10 years experience between us, we're getting some of the big picture about where we come from. This evening, I was in a small local meeting, and it's what I call the Anarchaeologists. We're a group, one of them is a publican of the local pub in Kinloss, and another one works in archaeology, and interesting people who want to find out what happened that is outside of the mainstream teaching of, you know, our history. You know, we've got Scottish history, which is actually really only Roman history. The written history only starts with the Romans, because that's, you know, because all roads lead to Rome. You know, because they started there, and they end up wherever we are, wherever you are, they'll end up in your face, and they're doing, you know, Rome is the same as the Nazis, is the same as Babylon, is the same as the New World Order. You know, it's the same thing. And interestingly, I don't know about the history of your place, but exactly where I live, in this valley in northern Scotland, it was the place where the last battle between the native Britons, the Picts and all that lot, stood off against the Romans, and of course were slaughtered to a man. So I realized that I've got a bit of a job to do, because there's something like 10,000 souls sort of wandering the valley. So I've got a few bits of transitioning to do. I might have to do it in batches. There's lots of people.
Yeah.
But, you know, so here I stand in this place. Here I sit in the corner of my room, but, you know, there's an energy here in this place where I am. You are somewhere. Tell us about what you're, you know, because I've seen your posts on Facebook, and you're growing your own vegetables, and you have to deal with the wildlife and all that stuff. So what's your situation? Do you live in a cottage? Are you like miles from anyone, or near?
Oh, I wish. I was in the country for a few years. It was just absolutely beautiful, in a forest on a lake, and like no sirens or helicopters or neighbors. I could garden naked, and it was absolutely heaven. But something happened. I was renting. My landlord had 800 acres, and he was like a mile away, so it was just perfect. And he had, some kind of issue, and so I was forced to move. So I'm now back in the city. I mean, not within the city limits, but a city with a normal neighborhood. I have neighbors in front of me, behind me, under me, above me, left, right, everywhere else. So no more naked gardening, but
oh.
And I have a front yard garden. So, you know, all these things that people, oh, well, I live in the city, I can't do this. I mean, I'm renting super cheap little two-bedroom house, which barely fits me and my dog and everything else, but I had the freedom to bring my dog and build and do whatever I needed to do so that I could continue to grow most of my food supply. You know, I have a cop living across the street. And, you know, I'm not letting this whole front yard garden, oh, that's illegal thing, scare me. I've been growing here for 2 years, and for the most part, I have the support of the community, and I guess they know they have to support me if they want to make sure that I keep feeding them. so I haven't had any problems, I mean, legally, at least, so far. And, you know, even if I do, whatever, I'm not going to let that deter me from doing what I know I need to do. And, you know, I did heal myself from a bunch of so-called incurable diseases, according to mainstream. So I found that food, as well as other things, you know, spirituality, emotions, things like that come into play. But for me, it's just my... It's a priority for me to do everything I can to grow my own food, because no matter what people complain about, whether it's chemtrails or acid rain or a cop that's going to shut your front yard garden down or whatever it is, it's it's still better than I could get in the store, and it's also part of doing my part and not supporting the man, so to speak, right? I mean, it's one thing to talk about it and another thing to do it, so I have no problem going the extra mile to find locals for the things that I am not able to provide for myself. And it's, you know, and that's where Project Love Your Neighbor came about, just kind of networking with like-minded people. And before you, you know, go to Walmart or wherever people go shopping, you check with your neighbors first. So, yeah, we've kind of come up with a pretty good thing going on here. One person does, you know, what I do. The next person does something else, and we all kind of network together, and we're able to, you know, kind of make a dent a little bit, at least here locally, and not supporting the big corporations.
Oh, that's brilliant, Christy. Because, I mean, again, a very parallel thing to what I'm doing here. I've got myself this little... I'm doing it because I'm poor ass. You know, I've got nothing. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you got nothing to lose. So I thought, you know, I was made bankrupt a few years ago because the bank kept on putting charges and charges on the charges and charges on the charges. And I thought, hey, screw this. So I, you know, started out ignoring their letters, and eventually it was the income tax people who made me bankrupt. I didn't need to do a thing. I didn't need to file anything. I just, you know, some guy came round to my house and he said, well, you know, you can do this, that, and that. All right. Oh, fine. and it just all worked, you know, so I haven't really been kind of official for a few years. I've only just started being more official, but now I'm listening to all this stuff and I'm thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't be so official anymore. We have here a let system, a barter system that I was involved in since the beginning, or very close to the beginning, and helped to make the database work and everything like that. So I've been working with alternative currencies as well. We had a box scheme. We still have, actually. We've got a couple now. Of people who grow vegetables, and every week they sell boxes to locals, and you know, you get your potatoes, your onions, and you know, whatever's growing that week, you know, bunch of kale, one of those weird things, what they call kohlrabis.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, you get all these you know, exotic vegetables as well as the regulars. Now, personally, I'm still poor ass. I can't even afford the box scheme, but I planted potatoes this year, and I've been eating, I've been eating my own potatoes. You know, it's brilliant. They're exquisite. They taste great. I have a wood burning stove, so I just light the stove, wrap them in foil, and I've got my meal that has come out of the ground, and I didn't need to go to the supermarket.
Beautiful, Jay. Good job.
So, you know,
the potatoes, I just picked mine yesterday. I know it's a little late, but here we can get two seasons in, like March to June, and then June till September. So, yeah, I spent all day yesterday digging, and I'm excited I get to eat them tonight.
Exquisite. It was the little ones. It's these little pea-size and grape-size potatoes have just this most exquisite little concentrated taste. Just, just steam them up for a little bit and, oh, wow. So look forward to that, Christy. That sounds really good. We have a later potato harvest here. In fact, a tatty festival. We used to, you know, there used to be a school holiday because the children used to go and help on all the farms around here. And it's, you know, it's still that rural that, you know, they still have the tatty holidays at school. They haven't abolished them yet. Even though most people are on tractors and things these days.
That's awesome. So I could just, every time I pick my potatoes every year, I'm just imagining like past lives in Ireland or whatever. It just kind of brings me back there and getting your hands in the dirt. I mean, you know, getting your roots in the soil. It's just so healing. I swear to you, it's like the best Prozac ever made. You know, when I'm just feeling, oh, life sucks and this is really hard, or, ooh, this person was mean to me, or just, you know, having one of those moments where I'm feeling sorry for myself. I just walk out there barefoot, stick my hands in the dirt, and it's like instant healing.
Yeah, it is so good to get the dirt under your fingernails and actually, you know, literally yesterday, to get the potatoes, I was forking through the soil, you know, using my hand like a fork or just to kind of root out these potatoes. It was a very, as you say, earthing experience. Digging the thing in the first place, I had to clear an awful lot of nasty stuff in that garden. Somebody had burnt a load of like office equipment and things, and there was all the metal buried up under couch grass. It was a real mess, and it took quite a lot of effort to do that. But this has been part of my alchemy moving through my programmings and all of that stuff to get more and more to be the organic JP than I started out as when I moved in.
So I'm getting messages on your chat, Jay, that my mic and stuff sounds really, really bad. I apologize for that. I'm not quite sure what to do, but I did just adjust the setting in Skype. Does that help any?
Yeah, that's not bad. I suppose it's to do with your upload speed. I don't know if you're, are you on a shared network or something?
I'm not on a network, but I do have a computer right next to this one that I could easily switch over to. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Dave is saying your mic volume is way too high. So...
Well, I just went into Skype.
Yep.
I don't have any physical or dedicated adjustments for this particular mic, but I went in on Skype and I unchecked the automatically adjust microphone settings and I turned it down.
Yeah, take it down another notch, I'd say.
All right, how about now?
Okay, that sounds lovely. All right, we'll see what Dave will be able to respond in a couple of minutes because he's... There's two sets of dump delays because Dave's relaying from Revolution Radio onto Wolf Spirit Radio. So.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. All of this happened so fast. We didn't really have time to
of
do a
course.
Before
of
the
course.
Show.
I mean, it was really like, hi, Jeremy, how you doing? You know, all right, Revolution Radio. Yeah, okay, let me introduce you to Mike. And bam, it was like less than 5 minutes, this whole thing.
Yeah.
I just love being able to do that. That's just my sole purpose.
Definitely going with the flow.
Lovely. So where were we? Growing vegetables. So the thing about growing vegetables, the reason I think that is that it's the most revolutionary thing you could do, is that when you're, say you buy potatoes from the store, a lot of the cost of that potato bag is in petrochemicals, in oil business, transport, you know, logistics and all that stuff. And a lot of that profit, a lot of that money goes to the man, goes to the oil industry, eh? So, if I can grow one potato, that's one less potato that has to be shipped or that is being shipped and that I'm paying for. And that's two less for the man.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes so much more sense to me rather than just complaining about what the man is giving us and, ooh, this isn't healthy enough and, oh, you're using our money the way we don't want you to use it. Just do it ourselves, right? Because they're really only in business because we're paying them.
Absolutely. And it is a business. We really need to get to the idea that everything that we see is like law and all that. It's a business and it's just to make money. And guess where the money comes from? Us. And guess where it goes to? Them. Any of their forms. Cause it's just the one, entity that is just like a huge gaping mouth with rows of teeth and a great big hoover at the back. Vacuum cleaner. it's like, oh, I gotta translate, yeah. So learning to deal with the man, has also been part of your journey. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I mean, which part would you like to know?
Well, you know, what started you was about your children, wasn't it?
Pretty much. Back in the day, this is back in San Diego. I was not homeschooling at the time. We were in school, and this was on the border. And I didn't really think anything at first, but then my children started coming home, getting beat up, and, you know, then have all these stories of how they were unable to get help, and, you know, my oldest daughter was 2 years behind as far as the grade levels, so I started getting more involved with the school until they told me that I was not allowed to volunteer unless I had vaccines. So to that, I obviously had to say no, but I was still able to stay involved by going to, like, reading hour and going to their assemblies and things like that. And, you know, what I had seen really shocked me. Like, my poor daughter that was 2 years behind, I found out it was because they weren't speaking English in the classroom. And so I went, and I'm like, well, that's cool. You know, people all over the world learn 5 different languages by the time they're out of elementary school. You know, that's cool. I have nothing wrong with that. Could you pretty please put my children in some Spanish classes so that they could understand what's going on? And that apparently, I kind of became a racist. When I mentioned that, my children were denied that and just falling further and further behind. And it just got to the point where it was unfathomable, unbearable, not to mention the fact that every time when my children would come home from school, it'd be like, hi, babies, how was your day? What'd you learn today? And they'd tell me, you know, about how Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves or... you know, something like that. And it's like, okay, I guess we have to do a little bit more unlearning. Yes, this is what you're learning in school, but here's the real truth, the whole truth. And so my youngest daughter, she's kind of naturally a rebel. She started questioning everything. For example, on Constitution Day, they called it Citizenship Day, which I thought was, you know, a little bit strange. My daughter started asking questions. She's like, no, this is, it's Constitution Day, and what about the Constitution? And, you know, this was obviously back in, 2005, 2006, when I still believed in that stuff, when I still believed a piece of paper gave me freedom. And so she kind of became... not too well favored because she's the kind of person that is going to keep asking questions until it makes sense to her. So ultimately I just decided this is just garbage. I'm taking him out of school. That was right around the same time that California outlawed homeschooling. And so we just packed everything up and hopped in a car, didn't know where we were going. I was in a wheelchair at the time, by the way. So it was a pretty risky.
Hang on. What are you doing in the wheelchair?
Well, I was disabled from the waist down. I paralyzed from the waist down. In fact, initially, I was unable to even pick up my own water bottle. My children were feeding and clothing me. But that was back in the days when I was going to doctors and taking their drugs and doing their surgeries, which I just got worse and worse, kind of turned into a zombie. I mean, their answer to everything was, here, have another drug. And, you know, I've never really been somebody who, you know, likes drugs, I guess, and nothing against people who do or whatever. It just, I knew innately that this is not the answer. I didn't know what the answer was. I just, for some reason, for the life of me, and it could have something to do with the fact that I was a nutrition major in school, so I learned how to poison people and, you know, the food pyramid and aspartame is good for you and such. It never really occurred to me that God or Mother Nature or Source or whatever created this beautiful rock we live on was smarter than men in white coats. So, I guess it took for me to, you know, have all these strokes and seizures and have cancer and diabetes insipidus and go blind and, you know, just basically lose my ability to function physically for me to start avenues. So I met a woman who had left mainstream medicine after she found out that she was poisoning people. And she introduced me to the possibility that what I learned in school might not have been all there is to know, and taught me about proper nutrition, not what I had got my A's for in school, and that just pretty much set me on the path of where I am today. So, yeah, when I was in San Diego, I was paralyzed in a wheelchair. I moved out here. I was still paralyzed, and that was my goal. We really didn't know where we were going when we packed up. I just had a vision. I'd like to find a small town with lots of water, trees, chirping birds, and all of that stuff. So it was spring, and here we are driving through the Ozarks, and all the forsythias and redbuds and dogwoods were in bloom, and the beautiful early morning fog, you know, the mist over the rivers and lakes. It was just beautiful. So we pulled up in a gas station. And the guy was, it's one of those gas stations where they serve gas station food. He was throwing it away and saw my dog and asked if she wanted some. So I'm like, cool. And he's like, where are you guys from? Well, we're from San Diego, but we don't really know where we are now. So he gave me some newspapers, and I just looked in the paper and found something for rent. And here we are now. And I was able to heal. So immediately, I mean, thankfully, I had good friends to help me. They helped me build a small garden, and my children were old enough to do that at the time. And so we started growing a little bit. And then by the next season is when we found the place in the country where I could have three big, beautiful gardens and then some. And it just kind of morphed from there. I never really intended to be some crazy organic front yard gardener growing 70% of her food. It was just something that happened. I mean, basil and tomatoes are like the gateway drug when it comes to gardening. So,
they're great because they just do their own thing and they grow and they're like, oh, I can have a tomato.
Yeah.
Tomato. Oh, some basil.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow, this is easy. So it kind of built up the confidence where it's like, oh, let's do a little bit more. And yeah, by the second season, it was insane. Like I seriously could feed an army. But yeah, I didn't actually come out here with this intent. I wanted to live off the land as much as I could. I really didn't even know that I had that in me because, you know, in San Diego, we're like, oh, my God, food grows from the ground? I mean, we just thought that it grows in the grocery store. It just appears there. And
like, oh, my God.
City life,
milk,
right?
Milk doesn't come in a box. It comes in a can.
Yeah. Exactly. So it was beautiful, just a dream come true, being able to find a spot in the country and where I was able to heal, and it's just kind of morphed into this. So.
Wow. So, okay, let's just roll back a bit. You know, because you were saying you were blind, you had diabetes, and the whole list.
Diabetes insipidus, which is super rare, by the way, but that was caused by the drugs that they had given me. So
right, yeah, weird things for side effects, really.
Yeah, so initially all I did was quit taking their drugs and quit drinking like diet sodas. I would drink like Rock Stars and diet root beer. So I removed that from my diet and replaced it with water. Started taking some seaweed supplements and some green supplements. And that was it. That's all it took for the strokes and diabetes and everything to go away. Oh, by the way, I had to wear diapers. That's how bad it was.
Ew.
Yeah, I completely, my kidneys were shut down, they were ready to do surgery, and even told me in the hospital that there's no way that my urine could have come from a live human being. I'm like, dude, you just watched me pee, so maybe there's something wrong with what you're giving me. And, you know, so after 30 years of that, it's like, duh, the light came on, and I was ready to do anything. I seriously, Jay, if you would have told me to eat some toad in the garden and that would magically make me better, I would have done it. So
how about drinking your own pee?
I'm getting there.
there is a kind of thread that's going, or a trickle that's going through the chat room at the moment about I've had a couple of shows on urine therapy and the golden path and all that. So there is a thing, but you know, I see what your point was. Let's go back. I just want to say something about aspartame. I've been tracking this stuff for years. You know, I told my kids, I keep telling my kids, you know, it's going to kill you. And my niece has actually had, what do they call it? Lupus. They called it lupus.
Yes, I was diagnosed with that too.
Yeah, I know that is because of Diet Coke.
Yeah, lupus and MS and fibro. I was diagnosed with all those, and that's when I was in a wheelchair.
Yeah, and so you were completely disabled by this horrible poison.
Completely. So,
how much do you love Donald Rumsfeld?
Well, I guess there's a good side and a bad side to everything. they're definitely not my favorite people. But again, it comes down to self-responsibility. I came from a lifetime where we do not ask questions. We were punished severely if we did. We just do what we're told. And so with my conditioning, I wanted to be that perfect daughter, that perfect citizen, that perfect, you know, whatever, by doing what I was told. So I never thought to look at, you know, my way of thinking was, well, if it's on the shelves, it must be good for us because we have all of these regulations and, you know, whatever. We have all these overlords making sure that it's safe, right? And so the way I see it now is if we don't care to look beyond what one person, one official, one whatever person pretending to be in charge tells us, and we continue to pay for that poison, what do we expect?
Well, what we get, here's the thing. We were told that we were safe.
Yes, I believe it.
And our parents were told that they were safe.
Yeah.
And their parents were told, you know, all the way down. And yet, what we never realized, and this is what I've been coming to realize, and this is part of this, this little meeting that we had tonight, we were asked to, you know, bring in, we're just getting together for the first time, so we want to know how everybody thinks we got here. So, of course, having had all these guests like Alex Collier and Tolek and Stillings and all these people who have a really large perspective. My perspective took a little while to explain, but they were really like getting the big open-eyed perspective of the whole big picture. I didn't have time to finish, but this is the journey, and I think we're all going to go along this journey of finding out how we got here and what it's all about. But
yeah.
But what I was trying to explain to them is that, you know, all of this edifice around here, it really is the Truman Show. They have built it up around us. It doesn't really work the way they say it does. It's just a fake. It's just stagecraft.
Yeah. And it's hard to make that transition, let me tell you. Yeah. I mean, my awakening, and by the way, I don't think there's just one. I don't think that, oh, the light bulb goes on and you know all the answers. I went from one extreme to the other. I went from believing everything I was told to believing absolutely nothing and rejecting anything that just, you know, didn't fit into... Well, honestly, I didn't really know anything. I just knew that everything I thought I knew was a lie.
That's an important thing to know.
Yeah, but that was really hard because then there goes my whole life. 35 years, like, holy smokes. I thought that the world was flat. And I thought that, you know, aspartame heals and, you know, Mother Nature is dangerous and, you know, all of this stuff. So it was definitely quite a, it was an evolution in progress, which is, I'm sure, still going on. I'm definitely not done with my growth, but it was really, really hard because then there was the fear, like, okay, now that I know, now what? Where do I go? I was still kind of looking for a master, so to speak, somebody to hold my hand and tell me what to do. Okay, now that I know everything's a lie, well, what is the truth? So that was really, really scary. Then, of course, there was the anger factor where it was like, oh, man, all of you lied to me, parents, teachers, politicians, churches, da-da-da-da-da. And so I went on two polar extremes, and then I had to kind of find a, you know, settle in the middle, you know, realizing that the anger, okay, righteous, but misguided. I mean, how could I blame my mom? Or how could I blame my teachers? You know, there's somebody else programming them. So I had to definitely work on the fear, the anger, the shame of, oh, come on, Christy, you're smarter than this. Why didn't you know? And then the guilt of, you know, just not being in a position to where I could conform to society standards or what my parents wanted or what anyone else wanted. So it's definitely been a process. I've been working on myself consciously for this entire 7 years and trying to figure that out and find a more middle ground. It's been fun. And I know, you know, it kind of happens with everyone. When you find out mainstream is lying, then you go to alternative. But one thing we forget is that just because it's different than what you've heard before doesn't necessarily make it true, right? So then I had to find out, oh, my gosh, I'm being lied to there. And I fell into the whole fear paradigm, like the I don't even know if I can say the name, but, you know, like Alex Jones stuff. Where I'm like, oh, the world's going to end and everybody's out to get me and, you know, try to find a way to come up with money so I can build some underground bunker and buy 50 years of food supply without even thinking that, well, if the world is really going to end and we're really going to get hit by a comet or a planet or a whatever it is, then none of this is going to do any good anyways. So it took me a long time to be able to, you know, to fall out of that fear paradigm and learn to live for the moment and make my life and, you know, those lives around me the best it can be right now with what we're given. So, hey, I'm still a human in training.
That's right. Well, you know, one of the things that I've always talked about on my show is this, the seven rays and the initiations. So maybe we're in a position now where we can talk about a little bit of that because you've had some experience of it.
You could say that.
Isn't that interesting?
Prepare for evisceration.
No, I'll be gentle. So you have an interesting set of rays and your rays actually can form with America. I've spoken to you about this before, that you're like a kind of microcosm of America. All the things that have happened to you are happening to America. Yeah. America has been poisoned by aspartame. America has been victimized by the services, so-called services. All of these things have happened to you, and in your response to it, in your evolutionary, evolved responses even, you have created a model, a template. And then people listen to you talking about that on your radio show. They hear the template. This template is a new way of responding. Perhaps not necessarily doing it exactly the same way, but taking the same attitude. And that creates what they call asymmetric response, which is like a unique response for the moment, you know, using the tools available to the hand. So when you solve your problems, that adds to the morphological field, the 100th monkey syndrome effect of allowing America to evolve in the same way. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I remember the first time you said that my numbers represent America. I'm like, no, I hate this place. But, you know, really, it's not this place's fault. You know, the leaders of America do not speak for Americans. The leaders of any country do not speak for the people. So I just, you know, I don't, this template, I guess, that you refer to, I didn't really, like, consciously go out and, oh, well, I'm going to fix everything and this is how you do it. I'm so great. Ha, 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 ho. that didn't happen at all. I just had to try a bunch of different things that were different and scarier than what I was already doing, right? And then I just had to hope that there was a safety net to catch me.
Well, that's the thing.
Thankfully, there was.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that you've done this in public.
All of my awakenings have been in public.
Exactly. This is what an initiate does.
Wow.
That's what Jesus did. Guess what? The crucifixion, that was an initiation. All these little events in Jesus' life were the initiations where he gets the aha. Ah, I see. You know, and he goes through the anger process. He realizes that the money changers are the key of the whole kind of Roman system.
Mm-hmm.
And when he makes that realization, he gets pissed.
Yep, turn him over.
Turn the tables, you know, all that stuff. So you see, the things that you've gone through are, yes, spiritual awakenings. And there is a very specific process that I've been taught by my teacher, whose name is Maitreya. And 20 years ago, I came across him and he showed me this stuff. And along with those of other people, I still speak to one or two of them, but presumably everybody else is out there doing what they're doing. But I haven't heard anybody else on the net talking about the rays. So I was looking, like you, I was looking for the teacher, and I found out, you know, guess who's going to be teaching everybody else? So
yeah,
and so you know, I'm basically, and this is the key, is that it is. The fact that we do not have teachers, we are using our intuition, our inner tuition, our inner teacher to teach us, and therefore, and from that point to teach everybody else to share what we've been taught.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that was the big an even bigger awakening than the previous initiations, I suppose, is that finding out that we are our own teacher, we are our own master, we are our own guru, we are our own doctor, you know, all of these things that we look for everyone else to provide for us, which, you know, and again, no fault, it's the way we were brought up, so... You know, how do you know that there's something else unless yes, you have some big awakening, and sometimes these big awakenings, at least in my case, because my head is like granite, okay? It is super, super hard and thick. So I in my case, in my journey, my path, I needed something huge to kind of shake me up and wake me up out of that. So, yeah, I don't wish it upon anyone else. But if it does happen, try not to resist. Just go with the flow and know that when you wake up on the other side, you're going to be a brand new person, and you're probably going to like it a little bit better than the one you were previously.
You see, the main thing, okay, so let's just break it down a bit, because what you're carrying, in terms of your rays, your oversoul, what we call oversoul, what in the teachings they're called monad, right? And that's the you who is you. Monad, and then there's the soul, which is like the tube between you and your being, your physical being, your personality. This is who I'm speaking to, your skin suit, your kind of character and all that stuff. Your ego, all that is like the personality. And the battle of the, not the battle, but the process, well, the battle, it starts here, at one point it becomes a battle, but the process is generally, you move through the personality and allow the personality to let go of control and allow the soul to start moving. It's like allowing yourself to be remote controlled by who you really are. This is the process we call initiation, and what it involves is the clearing and alignment of certain chakras, right? You're familiar with the chakras.
Yes.
And there's the upper chakras, like the heart, the brow, the crown, the throat, and then there's the diaphragm, and then there's the lower chakras, and then the solar plexus, the sacral, and the base center. And the idea is that they become realigned with respect to each other, because what the big damage, the fall of humanity, the traumatization of humanity has, it mangled us, it put us through a bit of a blender. And you know, basically they blended our brains and so it's all scrambled up, but it's now starting to reorganize itself, where the blueprint is becoming stronger, people are starting, what's happening is that they're, you know, what they call waking up, but basically these centers are realigning, and people are reinitiating themselves to become the ascended human, which is how we're going to end up. You know, this probably matches up with a lot of what what your guests have been saying over the years, isn't it?
Definitely. Right.
Okay, so this is the process, and the process starts at the sacral center. There is a ray frequency energy that is going through the sacral center that was kind of, shifted in there. There are three chakras that have, this energy, that has been shifted, and that's the brow center, the sacral center, and the base center. Right? And because the brow center has got the wrong energy going through it, we're confused in our mind. We have the fourth ray, which is, harmony and conflict. So we never really quite know what the truth is. And then, in our sacral center, we have the ray of concrete knowledge. So we have concrete relationships, you know, these very fixed, hierarchical relationships that we have, with other people and with the family and everything like that. And then the fourth ray, which should be in the, is in the brow center, should be in the base center. We've got seventh ray in the base center, which creates a locking in of, your definition of who you are. You are this, you are, you know, it's like the whole naming thing. And it all works very conveniently for this whole illusion to work. So basically, we've been messed about with in a very specific way, very consciously specific way, that is then, what's the word? Not propagated, proliferated, no, continued all the way down through time, sustained by sexual abuse.
Yeah.
That has gone throughout history, you know, and that keeps us all in this weird order. So the first thing that we reverse in order to reverse this process is we reverse the sexual abuse. And that means coming into right relationship with people, you know, and you know about having wrong relationships. We all know about having wrong relationships.
Yes, I'm a pro at that.
Yeah, well, you've been gathering information. Let's put it that way. So there's what's happened, that these rays have been, it's a triangle and they've been shifted around one. It's like one of these little games. And the trick is to shift them back. And the way you shift them back is you hold the sacral center, which is our relationship center, in a seventh ray, relationship, which is of right order. Seventh ray is all about everything is in order. You know, so seventh ray people are very orderly. They're the kind of people that you will find at the bus stop exactly the same time every day, you know, all perfectly neat and well turned out. Mm-hmm. So when you have the seventh ray moving into the sacral center, you have right relationships, which is non-abusive relationship. Basically, it's if we can relate to people without abusing them, then we're starting to ascend. That's the first process. And you relate to people in the right way by communicating properly. And so that connects the throat center to the sacral center. And that locks in the first initiation. And the first initiation is the first realization, that point when you realize, well, I don't have to be here. I don't have to stay with my family. I can move out. I know it feels scary, but I know I need to do that. That's the first initiation.
That was, I did that. That's when I, in fact, it was, that's where my growth could finally begin, where I finally hit the balls to kind of turn my back on my family. And I wouldn't say that it was like, hi, you suck, I'm turning my back on you. It wasn't like that. It was almost like a process energetically. Like those words never had to be said. It was just as I started to grow a little bit, the control came on a little bit tighter. And so actually they ended up banishing me. You know, disowning me, you're crazy, or this and that, which was really, really hurtful.
Fire under the bottom.
Yeah, so when I grew the balls to just pick up and leave San Diego, not knowing where I was going and not looking back, that was it. That was it for me.
So that's the first initiation. And, you know, you were basically drag kicking and screaming through it. You had no choice. You didn't.
Totally. I didn't consciously say, hi, I'm leaving family and I'm going to go find myself on my own. Nope.
However,
I was kicked out of the nest.
But in your soul contract, that's where it would be.
Yes. You know?
And having a sixth ray personality, it likes to hang on. You know, one of the issues of the sixth ray is not being able to let go easily. And that is, you know, again, this is part of a mass group. So you're holding energy for a large group of people. So be good to yourself. It's not so, you know, you're part of a collective and you're an influential part of a collective. Don't go away. We're going to dismember Christy's soul.
Woo-hoo.
Be right. Thank you very much. I love that audience one. I actually want to get a little jingle on my IDJC so I can press a button and get audience. Just maybe have different, like, sort of some murmurs and a couple of coughs, you know, the occasional cough. Anyway, my guest tonight is Christy Aphroditi. In a couple of weeks, in less than a couple of weeks, you'll be a host on Revolution Radio. It was all very hastily arranged, and I do feel like we pulled you out from the airlock. See if there's any more people floating in space who have been thumbed a lift with the Vorlon transporter. So
yeah. I'll just say it was perfect timing.
Absolutely. And there is a shift that is happening right now. Now, So we were talking earlier, or I was going on, about this is the first shift, is the shift of the coming into right relationship, which it starts to dislodge all those other chakras. And basically we start getting a cleansing, discharging of those particular chakras, and they happen in a very, almost a prescribed order. And this first one is the sacral center. So what happens is you start purging your relationships. And, because basically it's like there is material that is lodged in there, you have to dislodge the material. And the way to dislodge material is to stimulate it, and then the body starts to recognize it as foreign object and starts to reject it. And on a psychic level, that means karma. It means dealing with the bad relationships in your life and writing them. Actually, because basically this stuff is it's like a needle sticking in you, and you have to push that needle out.
Yeah, definitely.
So what you find is you go through these bad relationships, and then you finally come to that final point, which is where you finally should have been in the first final place. Because you know what it is. You know what it is. There is a feeling that happens at the end of every relationship that is, it's like, oh, I know this place. Yes, this is what I've been looking for.
Yes.
It's that when you finally realize that what you're trying to fight is not outside of yourself, it's inside of yourself, and, and it comes together inside of you, and there's this kind of, But what they call that moment is disillusion.
Yeah.
It's actually rather a delicious feeling if you can get into it. And rather than say this is a terrible feeling, it's like eating cauliflower.
Aw, you don't like cauliflower.
I'm sorry. I'm a brassica sensitive. I like ice cream and chocolate, you know.
Chocolate rock.
So, so you have to kind of get yourself used to it, kind of thing. But it is, to not have illusions, to be, you know, feet on the ground and not, you know, fantasizing about all these things. Anyway, so what happens is that you purge the relationships that you have. So that's one stage of generating the right relationship. You also learn to speak your feelings, you speak from, the real time rather than a series of, scripted responses, as many, many people do. The clearing of the base center, is something that happens after everything else. It's really you have to clear everything else before you can get back to it, because it's like the first thing that happened, and it's the last thing to come back into alignment.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You know, given sexual abuse is the thing that keeps it going. Yeah, see? Mm-hmm. So then once the relationships are starting to sort out, you then start having these aha moments, because you're getting glimpses of having the fifth ray in the brow center. Now, how you tell the difference? Fourth ray in the brow center, which is like the state of sleepal, is you don't know what's true. You know, this person tells you one thing, that person tells you another. So, you know, man with two watches doesn't know the time. So, you know, so you can't ever get to know what is real and what is not real. And this is the big problem of having. So when you get the glimpse of the clarity of that single mind, you know, if thine eye be single, it's basically the energy of the fifth ray coming into its rightful place, because fifth ray is about knowledge. It's about being able to pick a piece of truth out from anywhere that you see it. It will just jump out at you. And all the rest will just fall away. You'll just see the nuggets of truth. Like you might be watching a sci-fi movie, and suddenly there'll be a scene in there, or there'll be a painting on the wall of a pissed person that's like, ah, yeah, that's Andrew Basago or something like that. You know, and there's these little recognitions. You see revelation. It's the eye of revelation.
Yeah.
And so that's the one of the effects of having this movement going on. But then what has to happen, once the relationships get cleared, is then you have to clear the ideals. And ideals are tricky because those are the things like going to work. I have to go to work. All the I have to's and I musts and I should's, they all live in the solar plexus. And this is, so the first one, the sorting out the relationships and leaving your family and doing all that, that's called the first initiation. And that can take many, many lifetimes. Oh, we have a call. Let me see. I'll just...
Hey, I get to see how this works then.
You just add to group call. And Tracy, are you there? Where are you? What happened? Let's try that again. Maybe I have to call you back. Oh, well. There you go. So... Yeah, the second stage is the stage of recognizing that you're laboring under illusions. And more or less what you've been talking about this evening in the first hour, that's all that stuff, isn't it? It's and mainly the conquering is of your own self, of your own disbelief.
Yeah, that's definitely the truth. So I had to kind of resign myself to the fact that it's okay if I don't know all the answers. Just, you know, buckle up and open my mind to not be so rigid in having to be right or having to understand everything or having to have all the answers. And I find that that's where they come. When I just kind of wiped my slate clean, I don't know anything, I'm, you know, come ye as little children, I guess, maybe. So it's like every day is like a whole new life. So when I detached myself from having answers and knowing it all and giving up what I thought I knew is where the answers started to come. And I'm not saying all the answers, don't get me wrong. I know nothing and I'm totally fine with that. All I do know is my own personal experience, and even that's questionable because some of it I'm still spinning my head like, whoa, how do I explain that? So, yeah.
Well, I find the little analogies, they just come just when you need them. And this is the nature of living in the moment rather than living in the there and then, is that it does come to you when you need it. It will be there at the back of your tongue for you to just roll out. You know, it's,
maybe it's not in the tongue. Maybe it's not in the mind. It's in the heart.
Yeah. Because this is where it goes, because once you relinquish control from the ideals, the solar plexus, that allows the heart to take, well, basically not really to take control, because the heart is like a chairman. It delegates properly, you know. It doesn't grip everything like the solar plexus does. So, When the solar plexus is let go, the heart then delegates, you know, according to what's natural. And instead of being a fixed person, you are able to be flexible and to vibrate at any frequency that you need to. Because, you know, when you need to communicate on throat center level, you can do it. When you need to communicate on heart level, you can do it. And everything changes and you can have them all happening at the same time. Whereas if you're stuck in the solar plexus and the lower centers, you have it's a concretion. It's like what do they call it? Calcifying. We know what calcifying, the ossification. And that is what holds the whole process in, as well as the abuse. So, having removed your abuse, having removed the bad relationships, and having removed the idealism, you're now able to, and if you now notice, what I've just talked about are the four chakras that line the torso.
Yeah, it's very important, and I saw that somebody brought up on the chat, like, why do we even refer to them as higher chakras or lower chakras? And that doesn't mean, I know a lot of, when people start to wake up or consider themselves spiritually evolved or whatever, they focus on the top three, right? And, you know, like, negate the lower, quote-unquote, ones, thinking, oh, well, those are less than. But that's certainly not true. I mean, you need to incorporate all of that into your being to be a, you know, full rainbow body or master or enlightened soul or, you know, because it's part of us. You can't just, you know, like people who go to the gym and, you know what I'm talking about, the guys that just work their arms because they want like these hot biceps or, you know, hot, whatever, they're pythons, right? They're triceps, and, you know, they don't touch their legs or anything else, and it kind of looks funny. It looks a little off balance, and you find the same in spiritual circles where, you know, the ladies in the, you know, the psychic fairs or something, and not all of them, but you know what I'm saying, the ones with the blue eyeshadow that are, you know, they only focus on the third eye and the crown and, you know, completely negate or some religions even that put, you know, the lower chakras beneath them. And, you know, I've definitely found that I think the key is to incorporate and allow and heal all of that and embrace it into our beings.
That's right. So when we have, when we've gone through these processes, what we get is we get a clear throat center, heart center, solar plexus and, sacral center. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's these, they're all in a line, you see. And it's like it opens up. These, they're like an iris. They open up like irises, you know, like the thing in Stargate. And that allows, finally, the crown center to open up and beam light right down to the base center. That's the third initiation, and that is when the Kundalini naturally will spiral back up.
Ah, okay.
To the brow center. That is the only time when Kundalini really needs to be, is to be activated. Mm-hmm. Everything else is a fake initiation. Because you haven't done the work. This is the work. The work is doing what you're doing, right? And all of the, you know, when you get the Kundalini experiences, it will be because you've done, you know, it'll be a, like a reward for doing the work.
Yeah. But it's not all that easy. We have done a few shows talking about Kundalini awakening. Mm. Is it a curse or a blessing? And, you know, a lot of us are like, oh, well, I had my awakening, now I'm done. And then you have the other people that aren't really doing the work, but they're like, oh, I just want this special, you know, little button, this magical button to go off, and then I'm already awakened. But, yeah, for me, it was ugly, messy, dark, scary, you know, like suicidal, like, oh my God, get me out of here. What the heck is going on? And, you know, unless you've actually lived through it, you don't really know. You can read all these beautiful stories on these websites with these big flowery words and make it all lollipops and unicorns and rainbows, but it's not. It's
let me tell you. Let me tell you. Now, I've been through a process this week. We've all been through a process, you see, and everybody goes up the next step in the spiral, you know, so people are on the first stage, we'll go up to the second stage. As soon as they're on the second stage, we'll go up to the third stage, etc. That means Jesus has just got a promotion, by the way. He's out of here, isn't he? You're fine. It's fine. Anyway, but basically, alright, so, it's the, it's all these fake, what they call New Age teachings, have a lot to do with, the badass Pleiadians that connected with, Truman and, who's the, Eisenhower in the 40s. they brought their kind of their brand of, it's like, it's a religion that seems like it's not a religion, but is still a religion because it's solar plexus based and it's belief based and it's leader based and all this stuff. It's another flavor of hierarchy.
Yeah.
In the way that Catholicism was a flavor of hierarchy that was the color of Christians. Okay, so we got a call. Let's see if we can add this one. Area code 302. Hello.
Hello. I'm turning down the internet right now. You can hear me?
Hello. You're live on the air. Area code 302. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, this is Julia. Hello, Christy.
Hi. Hi, Julia. How are you?
I'm great. Great, thanks. I feel like I've been absent from your show and some goings-on, but I've been keeping up. I was just listening to what you were saying about having your sort of, like, awakening and how different people take it and blasting through you. And two things that you guys were saying just really ring true for me right now. As you know, Christy, I've been having a very tumultuous sort of awakening over almost 2 years now, physically, mentally, everything. And I was wondering if in the, when you're talking about the chakras, JP, how it's working through you, like, everything is going really well in my life except for relationships and things, and I'm having my back problems have returned. L4 and L5, like just bulging discs and things, and I'm adding it all up and I'm going, oh, I'm
let's just go dive right into that, because yes, absolutely. Not only will you have back problems, right? Remember, the sacrum is the joint between the spine and the pelvis, right? Mm-hmm. It's really, really, really important. And people who have done lots of silly liftings and things like that, or who were, you know, put on too much weight too quickly, it knocks that joint out. I personally had a motorbike accident and I was overweight. It's all fused there. So that's a lot of calcification that I've needed to deal with. But over the years, and a form of yoga has helped me bring that up. But yes, you're absolutely right. But not only that, in the first initiation, which is what you're describing, things are not going to, be more and more glorious. Things are going to be more challenging, but you'll be stronger and able to deal with the challenges. Yeah. But what you get when you have this first initiation, you get the back problem and you also get throat problems. So people say, oh, I've got a terrible backache. And I say, how's your throat? And they go, oh, yeah, funny that. I've been a bit scratchy recently. This won't go away and never come back. It comes back whenever you've got issues to deal with. It's a reminder. It's a conversation.
Yeah, like a year ago, my back was like horrible. I was consulting Christy and I physically felt like terrible. And then here it is, coming up on October again. I'm like, are you joking? You know, like, are you back again? Cause I was just feeling somewhat close to, like, good.
Mm-hmm. Julia, I totally relate to that. And I've learned in my process to look at the pains in our body rather than resist them, to look at them like check engine lights, right, on your vehicle. Mm-hmm. And look at where the pain is coming from. And you mentioned back. So, you know, the back is essentially like your support of life, right? Without your spine, where would you be? And every single thing is connected to it. So what I've learned, and, you know, when I get lower back pain, I know that I feel unsupported by the universe, and specifically financially, if it's like in my middle back, then I feel I've learned that the emotional connection or, you know, that I need to process is maybe even some guilt or like I'm stuck, you know, maybe even, you know, angry, like, get off my back, everyone, leave me alone. And, you know, when I have upper back or shoulder, like, you know, we're all taught, oh, well, it's stress. And yes, that's true. Stress causes all sorts of pains, but I found that that deeply resonates with my lack of feeling supported emotionally or maybe even feeling unloved. And so for me, when I get those pains, I just decide to take that time, whether I have to stay in bed for 2 days or 2 weeks, however long it takes, and just say, okay, God, source, higher self, spirit, whoever the heck you are, what is it that I'm resisting? What can, you know, what am I supposed to be learning from this? And you mentioned October and said that you went through the same thing last year around the same time of year. And you don't have to answer this question on the air, but I'm just going to pose it for you to address in your own time when you're ready. But maybe it could be or represent like an anniversary of some type of trauma, whether you were 3 or 5 or 10 or 12 or even 20 years old, did something big that has to do with feeling supported, loved, or maybe even abandonment issues, loss of a loved one, a family member, etc. You know, so kind of go in and see if October represents or is an anniversary of some type of emotional or physical trauma. But I found this book I'd like to tell you about that really, really helped me. It's called Waking the Tiger, Healing Trauma, and that's by Peter Levine. Okay, I've talked about it on my show and on videos, but that book I bought a few years ago by accident. I ran into it in a bookstore out of town, and it was on sale, and I thought, oh, how cool. This will help me help other people in my holistic health coaching practice, right? I had no idea that I was actually suffering or trying to heal from trauma. So I'll just give a warning out there for those who, you know, want to step into that book or, you know, it may trigger something in you. It may not. But for me, it did. I was like halfway through, and it talked about these anniversaries of traumatic events that I had completely put out of my mind. I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm stronger than that, and, you know, I'm not suffering, I'm so perfect, and, you know, it's those people. And this book put it in a way that, like, really, really, really made sense. And, you know, I'll just be honest with you, it triggered a major healing crisis, like where I was stuck on the couch for like 3 weeks and just I was begging God, please take me away. Please take me out of here. You know, all of that pain and stuff you hear. I mean, my friends had to feed me if I was going to eat. So it was really emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically devastating. But once I made it through that, I was finally able to see, holy smokes, I have been hiding, I've been repressing all of this stuff, which is obviously crucial for my healing. And then, you know, I was reborn, again, a new person, but I had goals, and it brought to light things that I had to work on if I wanted to reach my goals. Does that make sense?
Oh, no, it makes total sense, and it's funny. I actually have that book. And went through, a friend of mine gave it to me like 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, and oh yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I think from listening to you guys and just sitting here for a second for myself, that, like you said, I've gone through so much stuff, I went through so much stuff, you think you've gotten somewhere, and I mean I have, but I just keep getting reminders of the crap I still need to deal with. And even though my throat is fine, I think it has to do with not expressing myself
beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
it seems really nice, and that you're aware and consciously working on this. And you know what? I know we like to think that when we have a little awakening, that that's it, and you know everything goes good for a while. And so you're really not taking two steps back. You really are not, sweetheart, okay? You're going with the process and trust the process, and please don't make my mistakes. Well, actually, you can if you want. I'm not telling you what to do, but my biggest mistake is in resisting it and trying to make sense of it. And then, you know, the self-guilt and the self-shame, like where I start shooting on myself. Oh, I should be better than this. I should be stronger. I should be more evolved. I should, you know, whatever that is, that negative self-talk we tell ourselves. So I'm giving you a big fat hug right now because you really are doing a great job. I can hear it in your voice.
Thank
and
you.
Yeah, you're not doing anything wrong, honey. It is part of the process, and you know, it's gonna keep on. And I don't want to make it sound all negative, okay? It's not. I mean, I've had some pretty hardcore awakenings, and it was definitely hard during it for those times, but without those dark times, how can we experience the joy? We wouldn't even know what joy is, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Julia, when you're, have you come across the Ho'oponopono?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
I'm sorry, I love you. Please forgive me. Thank you. Have you come across that little phrase there?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't understand the phrase you said.
Ho'oponopono?
Yeah.
Oh, Ho'oponopono, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so, right. You remember I was, I don't know if you were listening to the show earlier, but I was talking about fifth ray material being caught in the sacral center. It's like little shards mm-hmm. of glass or bits of grit or concrete or something that is in that, and it makes, it takes a while for it to come up because it's like splinters. You know, when you get a splinter in your body, it pushes it out very slowly. Comes out of as a boil. It's not very nice. But once it's out, it heals and it's gone. And psychologically, the same thing happens. And all the trauma that we received lodges in our sacral center. So what you're probably finding is that the trauma that was applied comes in reverse. You know, whatever goes in comes out. So the best thing to do is just keep focusing on using the forgiveness formula, you know, the Ho'oponopono. That will, if I'd have known that like 20 years ago, I'd have been more enlightened than I am today. But anyway, there you go.
Stop shitting on yourself, Jay.
I know. It's just like, you know, the Ho'oponopono has really accelerated things for me. It's magic. So thank you very much for calling in, Julia.
Thank you.
And you can call in to Christy's shows in the future on this very same number.
Yay!
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Bye, Christy.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
So, there we go. How did I...
That was sweet.
There we go. So there was,
that's what it's about, just getting real and getting past that shame and, oh, you know, everything's perfect here and, you know, paint on the clown face, fake smile and, you know, because that's not reality. That's
absolutely
not real. That's not what life is. And I just think it's so beautiful that people are feeling more free and safe to be themselves and just say, look, I keep feeling, you know, this, and maybe I messed up or I'm not doing something right. Just know, whoever's listening, you're doing everything right, and you are always exactly where you're supposed to be. So, again, my biggest mistake is resisting it. And, you know, when I finally remember, oh, darn, I forgot, just surrender.
Yeah.
And then it's much easier.
This is, I'm going to go back to this microcosm, macrocosm, and the sixth ray personality. The sixth ray personality, has various qualities about it that are, in some ways, they're, kind of extreme. It's basically a very, it's a ray of extremes. It's like, if you're going to do something, you're in there 200%. You know, I'm really into this, you know, I'm really, 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 really excited about it. And it's almost overwhelming to be so excited about something, but I'm still excited. that's the sixth ray. You know, here's a little whisper. Americans, this is how you appear to the rest of the world. It's like, it's slightly, just a little bit too, intense for most people, most Europeans. it's like having somebody coming in with a megaphone. It's like having Alex Jones talk to you through a megaphone when you're just having a quiet conversation.
That's great.
One of the sort of tempering qualities of the sixth ray, and indeed, there are certain keynotes that go with different rays, and the one that goes with the sixth ray, I'm sorry, is restraint.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we could use a little of that. I can too. Absolutely. Yeah.
So restraint is one of the. It's like, if you ever feel yourself kind of moving a little bit, just take a breath and, bring yourself back to your center, because you can easily overextend, and, you know, you can lean so far forward that you fall flat on your face.
Yeah, definitely.
And it may be that it may be better to stay in your space and allow people to come towards you.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I agree with that, Jay.
Yeah. So this is the and what then that happens once you've kind of reined in the personality, it allows the soul to then start taking the controls, because it's the personality is running around here and there and everywhere.
Ego.
The personality. What I talk about the personality is what we talk about the ego. Yeah. You know, everybody's got one, and everybody's been traumatized, so everybody's got an ego. Ego is the result of trauma, and, you know, not only that, but America has a mass ego, mass trauma, that has created this, trigger happy thing that the policemen are demonstrating. You know, it's like the police are expressing what's gone on.
Yeah.
And it's awful. And you know, it's like, I'm really glad that I live in Scotland, and that I can actually have a conversation with a policeman, and tell them the law, and they don't slap cuffs on me.
Oh wow. Must be nice.
Yeah. So what we're talking about, we're going through the evolution, and the evolution comes from the personality to the soul. It goes from the solar plexus to the heart. And in your case, it literally goes to the healing, teaching, nurturing side of you, right? That's your soul ray. That's ray two. Yeah. It's teaching, healing, and nurturing. You have an urge to share what you've learned. You have learned the hard way, because that's how initiates do it. Initiates sign up to do things the hard way. So don't get down on yourself that you make mistakes. You're not making mistakes. You're just learning all the different aspects and facets of how people can make mistakes, so that you can catch others and say, well, I'll tell you what happened to me. That's a funny story. And saves them a whole load of heartache.
Oh, I hope so. I really do. I do not wish my resistance on anyone.
So stubbornness, resistance, and doggedness, and all of those. The flip side of that is, what's that word? It's another P word. Persistence. No, not exactly persistence. It's, the word. Diligence. Diligence.
Okay.
The ability to carry something through. Commitment. So if you decide you want to learn the piano, you're not going to take up piano lessons and give them up 2 weeks later. You'll do that whole year's course. You know? Yeah. That's what the sixth ray does. And that is why you find a lot of people who've got sixth ray are virtuoso. It's the only ray that gives you, well, there's two rays that give you the virtuoso. One of them is the sixth ray because of the amount of dogged patience and practice and intensity that you can give your practice. And that's like Eric Clapton locking himself in the room with a bottle of Jack Daniels and an electric guitar. Come to become God. That was his process, you know? He did nothing else. And that's the ability of the sixth ray. It can really be one-pointed, which is great in some places, and in other places it can be a little restrictive, especially in terms of teamwork and things like that. But the second ray changes all that. The second ray realizes that it's one of a team, it's one of many. In fact, everything is one, and it's one of one. You know, it recognizes itself as being in just happens to be in the central position, but not in a position of leadership, in a position of responsibility.
Yeah.
So that's where we move to. Instead of being egotistical, you then become servile. You become like in service. And you help people through their process. Actually, that's most of what we're doing at the moment. And this is why I do this radio station. This is what Journeys with JP is, and Journeys with Rebecca was. Is this is the journey that we have taken from being a person who didn't know anything to a person who has got a fair idea of what's going on. That's the journey, and that's what we call consciousness and becoming more conscious and enlightened. Well, I hope I'm lighter. I hope I'm more humorous. The more jokes I can make in an hour, then the better. I'm trying to get my laugh, my humor count, my lol count up, but, I do my best. And that's another thing about yourself. You're always laughing, and that really helps to keep everything moving.
Definitely.
Yes. That's how you roll. Right. So.
All right. We are rolling. Now, when you say the, I know you've told me what my, the rays are before, and you keep bringing up six. Does the six have to do with service?
Right, okay, so let's just run it through. Your monad ray, the oversoul, your like first intent, primary intent, is ray one, which is to bring the truth. You know, that's like really, really, really important. And it's also quite singular. So, you know, you might find yourself, as you go further along this process, not really wanting to be around people all the time because you've got lots of stuff to do. That's the kind of the highest influence, and that's like the influence of multiple lifetimes.
Okay. I was just wondering if there was like a correlation. Like,
well, hang on, I haven't finished yet.
Previously. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I haven't finished yet. And then your soul ray is ray two. That brings you into the soul group of the indigo children, you know? This is the ray two is the indigo ray, and it's the ray that connects with the heart, and it's to do with healing and teaching and service, in all its forms. And it's the love ray, two, if you take two twos and, or take a two and put it in front of a mirror, it becomes a heart shape. Yeah. So that's how you remember that ray two comes through the heart. And it's the love wisdom. It's the ray of the Buddha. It's calm. It's not in a hurry. It's patient. And in fact, you know, there's that poem, you know, love is patient and does all that. Those are all the second ray qualities, you know. Everybody's got dark side. All the rays have dark sides. You know, the ray two can be very, very fearful. It can be a little, disdainful, sometimes. Richard Dawkins, he's a 5'2". And, You see, he's got quite a soft personality, but he's quite disparaging to people. That's an example of that. Who else have we got? So the 1-2 group, I have found, Christy, to be among the group, many radio hosts.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
In this movie, because this is our purpose. You know, it's like we plan this somehow. Who's to say how it happens, but this is the point where we're supposed to get. We're all in this place where we have people who are listening to us and other people that we listen to, and there's a network of information spreading that is like no other. AP can't beat us. This network, whatever you call it, the truth movement, whatever it's called, there isn't a name for it. It has no name. You know, because to give it a name would give it something for them to get hold of. This is something new. This is not named, not nameable. And this is what is actually helping to make the change. It's like the bridge. The second ray, Christy, is the fluid between the joints. The second ray is the glue that holds a family together. It's the love. The second ray is the niceness, that holds groups together. You know, pleasantness, Ubuntu. Do you know what that word means?
Yes, and in fact, I've really been enjoying using Ubuntu on Linux.
Excellent. Yes, we'll talk about it. Exactly. The whole, open source thing is a second ray thing. And this is the indigo generation. Right, the baby boomers, you know, us lot. because the new kids, they're the seventh ray kids, crystal children. They're into rhythm and they get it. They don't need to be taught anything. In fact, taking them to school causes trouble because they realize that what the teachers are saying is a lie. And then the teachers say, well, you're just an idiot or a retard because you don't understand what we're saying. And the kids are saying, no, what you're telling us is a lie, and that's why we don't listen and why we're not interested. And then they get slapped on with ODD or ADHD or any of the other Ds. what is the procrastinator, Ray? That's the sixth ray. The sixth ray the thing is, in the last 2,000 years has been the age of the sixth ray. And it's the whole kind of, you gotta believe. You don't have to know, you just have to believe kind of thing. Have faith. Faith-based ideas. Whereas, the seventh ray is all about knowledge-based systems. So, you know, these kids, they don't want to believe in someone. They just want to know how this works and let's get on with it. And they run with it. You know, once you teach them, it doesn't take 10 minutes to teach them and they're away with it. You know, I did the guitar lesson. I did a series of guitar lessons. I taught somebody how to read the YouTubes. And, I haven't seen him since, but he's in two bands. So, you know, that to me, that's brilliant.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, that saved him a lot of money and saved me a lot of time.
And you just kind of picked it up almost overnight, right, from what I remember?
To play guitar?
Uh-huh.
No, it's been many, many, many years.
Oh, okay, all right.
I'm no genius. I'm not a virtuoso at all. I should be better than I am because I haven't practiced as much as I should. But, you know, lots of shoulds in there. But in terms of like the amount of time that I've spent supposedly being able to play the guitar and the level of playing that I'm at, I'm clumsy, my notes are all over the place, but I know that I've got soul and I'm exciting. So screw it.
You sure are. Give me my guitar and I'm rich. Dad, I've heard your music. You're amazing.
You know, that's rock and roll. It's the excitement of it rather than the virtuosity of it. And you get, you know, you see, I see all these different ray combinations and the way they experience music. And it's, some people will be very, very picky. It's too much for three. So, just calm down. Calm down about for three. And listen, we're about 8 minutes away from the end of the show. It's been a real buzz, Christy, to have you on. So you're going to be on Rev Radio. Tell people.
Yes.
How to find you, when to find you, and what to expect. Because, you know, I noticed you've got a couple of your friends there. There's Casey. Hi, Casey. And Noily and Russ, I think, is one of yours. Tell us about what's coming up.
All right. Well, what's coming up? You can check the calendar at souljourneysradio.com. All of the shows and videos and blogs and things like that are found there, as well as links to the archives and the calendar of upcoming shows. Apparently, I'm going to have to do some schedule rearranging since I'm not starting until the 14th, and I had a couple months of shows booked. But so the calendar, the guests that you see in there will be coming on, just not in that order. So I'll be working on that in the next couple weeks. That's at souljourneysradio.com. MyTrueEssence.net is my holistic health coaching site, and you know, I do make medicine, I mix herbs, I make organic and natural skincare, and you know, just kind of help people, teach them how to heal themselves, whether it's cancer or gangrene or MS or lupus. That's over at MyTrueEssence.net. And I do post a lot of video blogs. Actually, I've been behind the last couple months with computer issues, but the YouTube account is youtube.com/souljourneysradio. I do like cooking tutorials, you know, just teaching people how to make healthier, delicious, and easy options, as we were talking earlier, you know, chocolate, the other food group. I have a couple different homemade, organic, gluten-free chocolate recipes up there that taste better than anything you will ever have. And it's super, super easy. So once you watch a video and see how easy it is, there's no way you'll go back to Snickers bars or Almond Joys or Reese's. And, you know, so that's kind of what I do, just helping people make things a little bit better, a little bit easier. So all of the information will be on souljourneysradio.com. The web guy got the Revolution Radio banner up already, and it appears I'm going to be very, very close to the same time we had before. I'll be here on Revolution Radio on Sunday, Monday, and Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and then Tuesday evenings at the same time slot I was at previously, well, for the past 7 years, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So, yeah, we'll get all that worked out in the calendar on the site. And I know you guys at Revolution guys and gals at Revolution Radio are going to be doing your magic and getting the banners and, you know, fitting me in the paper schedule there. But my start date, I believe, is October 14th. That's a Monday, so I guess we'll do Monday, Tuesday, Friday that week, and then the 4 nights in the following week. So I'm totally looking forward to it, and, you know, a schedule change is probably good for me. You know, been doing the same thing, same time for 7 years. It's time to move onward and upward. And, Jay, I want to thank you for your help in many different areas and for hooking this up, you know, so quickly and just being such a lovely support and always so sweet and pure and open and real. And thank you for bringing me here tonight to be able to talk about that and to learn a little bit more of your talent, your wisdom with the 7 rays. And I always enjoy hearing about that and giving us all a little more insight into my soul, or as you called it, dissecting my soul. So thank you for that.
Well, there's more of a vivisection, really, because you're still alive. <so. laughs> Sounds
anytime.
Even worse, doesn't it?
But there
you go. But there you go.
I am an open book. Dissect me anytime. I'm all good with it.
So Yeah, so we've got, you've got, your tantra man, Tobias. You've got a few, guests that come on specific days, haven't you?
Yeah, Toby has been Thursday for over 4 years. Toby, I called him. Tobias Lars. He's been with me for over 4 years on Thursday nights, but there aren't any Thursday evenings available, so we're probably going to switch over to Friday to continue that. And we're not really sure. I talked to him briefly before the show here today. Again, everything happened so fast, but it was absolutely perfect, so I'm thinking we will continue with him on Friday, and then I'll find a way to fit in some of the other regular guests and get the new people I had booked, Stuart Swerdlow and Guy Needler and Danny and Brinkley, which we kind of had an issue a couple weeks ago and missed his show. So, again, if you are looking at the calendar at souljourneysradio.com, all of those shows will exist. They will just be on different days starting here on Revolution Radio October 14th.
Excellent. So, yeah, there's all these schedule changes, but at the same time, you're managing to keep a bit of continuity going. That's great. Actually, the guy I like, the guest I like of yours is the guy who does the dousing and tells people what Star Wars planet they're from.
Oh yeah, there.
That's far up.
Great. So I'll definitely have him, and I guess I could keep him on Tuesday evenings. We have the gardening show was always the first Tuesday of the month, and then Shaman Avalon Shakti was the second Tuesday of the month. So some of them might stay in the same schedule, but obviously Tobias and Leah and Sydney Ross Singer will have to find different days, and it'll give me more room to have new people. You know, there's so many fabulous people out there that I want to have on the show. So, you know, I've been talking back and forth with them. So it'll be nice to give them a date finally and have the room to be able to do so.
That's fantastic. So, brilliant. By the way, if anybody's interested in the Seven Rays, I might as well promote my own stuff, whatever.
Yes, you better. We need it. We'd love it.
Yeah, if anybody's interested in learning about the Seven Rays, then I've created a little site called sevenrays.info, where you get info about the Seven Rays. So that's easy enough to remember. It's got a couple of radio shows that I did just talking about exactly what the rays are about. Also, I have another website, which is everbeyond.info, which is my Sunday show on Wolf Spirit Radio. The archives of Ever Beyond go back nearly 4 years now. And there are so many shows that say reading. And basically, reading is what I did with Christy tonight a little bit. But it's like, I'll do like a little 10-minute reading for people. And one of the reasons that I do this is not necessarily as a kind of, you know, when am I going to get my boyfriend kind of, sort of fortune telling thing. It's actually for people to learn about the qualities of the rays. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but this is what it's building up into. It's a little encyclopedia. Everbeyond.info. You'll get all the archives and all the teachings. Enjoy it. Christy Afroditis, thank you very much. We'll see you very soon. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye.
Thank you.